You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Oh, hello!
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 The English accent is coming out.
You know, I'm there for just a week or so, and it just comes out of me. I can't stop saying things with an English accent. So I've started with, oh, hello, hello, colonists.
You sound like an old British woman when you're in Great Britain, is what you're trying to say?
It's crazy. As soon as I get off the plane, it's crazy. Can you show me to the loo?
Did you find yourself using any colloquialisms? Like, did you say for the loo, or did you say mind the gap instead of the hole?
When you travel, there are certain things you have to say or else people won't understand you.
Right.
You know, so if you ask for, you know, where the trash can is, they go, what the heck's a trash can? It's like a wastebasket, or where's the rubbish?
Okay. The rubbish bin. Yes, the bin.
The rubbish, the bins, the wastebaskets, you know. So, like, there are certain things that they look at you funny. So you just do it because, although it sounds dumb when you say it with an American accent, like, they get what you're saying.
Right.
So you just, you know, it is nice. Mostly you start to pick up cadence and phrasing and tone and like how end of a sentence may go down instead of up, and how like Kevin Landers was with me and he came to help me out on the trip, and it was so funny because he had so much inflection, like he was putting on a crappy British accent by the end of the trip, but he couldn't help it. He couldn't stop doing it, and he kept going even all the way back to the States. And, you know, it affects even him, so you don't have to be, you know, a local for it to affect you. But yeah, so
I had that problem. Yeah, when I went to London, I mean, I in the cab from the airport, Bobby's like, what are you doing? Because I'm talking to the cab driver, and I'm starting to talk like this. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm so sorry. I mimic people instinctively, I think because of my innate, ingrown, deep desire to fit in.
Yeah, I think it's social people, too. Like, the more social you are, like, you'll sort of take it really easy. Like, you'll easily go along with something. Like, if I go to the mountains of Tennessee, I'll just start talking a little bit like, yeah, I'll go over to the Jack Daniels distillery.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If I go down there for TPPA, it's like, how y'all doing?
Yeah.
Where, you know,
yeah.
I think
there's something sad in that, because it speaks to us having a complete lack of individuality and just, please, God, let me fit in. Please, I want to be part of your group.
There's absolutely no question that's what it is. Absolutely, there's no question. Although, if I go to South Carolina, I start to talk, you know, like, I am from the great state of South Carolina. You know, like, not that bad.
Was that your Carolina accent? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what
that
was. The chair
recognizes a senator from the great state of South Carolina.
Okay, yeah. When you start saying senator, that helps, I think.
Senator, yeah. I knew Walt Whitman, sir, and you are no Walt Whitman. It's just going to be Gary's Piccadilly Circus of accents today. It's just going around and around.
Piccadilly Circus is a place in England.
Yeah, it's literally a glorified roundabout.
Yes.
There's a theater there, and that's Piccadilly. Anyway, so how was your trip?
Great, fun, tiring. Imaging USA, always a blast. The Gaylord, my favorite place that they have, Imaging USA. It's like Main Street USA at Disney World, except it's all under glass. You know, so there was horrible weather outside, and we never felt a bit of it, and it was just fantastic. It was all the way around. I feel we should introduce, though, our third member of our team today, because she's waiting
patiently.
Since
we're talking about your trip to Imaging USA.
On microphone with us now, joining us live on the show, is Savannah Butler, who was at Imaging USA with me and was our camera person. Hello, Savannah.
Hi.
Good intro, Savannah. Well done. That's a
wonderful.
You're supposed to say something charming and clever.
She said
to us,
she said she was all prepared. I'm all prepared to be on the show, and that's what she thought it out.
Try it again. Try it again, Boo.
And please welcome Savannah Butler.
Hey, I'm finally here.
Okay,
I've been in the background for so long, and now I'm actually speaking.
She's actually been in the room.
In the room, yeah.
When we've done the show on several occasions and never said a word, and now she's speaking for the first time.
Well, for the last year or so, Savannah's been acting as my studio manager, to which she's moved on because she's too busy and cool. So she's been in the background of a lot of things going on with the both of us, as a matter of fact. So I guess what you're here for, Savannah, is to sort of tell me all the stuff that Boo Ray did while I wasn't there.
Yes, she actually reached out to you, didn't she? And she said, I'm ready to be on the show.
She says, I've got some stuff.
I have stories.
She says, you want me on the show? I've got some stuff. So what do you got?
Oh, man. Okay, so the the first story I have to start out with was just as a little background information. I'm not used to fame. You guys are famous, right? You can't walk the trade show floor. No, seriously, we would try to go to point A to point B, and like 8, 15, 20 people would stop Bure, oh, I love your show, or I listen to the podcast. I mean, that's not me. That's
or Bure, why are you so handsome?
Bure, where's Gary?
Did you get that a lot?
Yes, they think we're joined at the hip, you and I.
Yeah, well, we, you know, at convention, we certainly can be. Yeah, yes. Sure.
So I wasn't used to that. I'm just the background person, and I'm okay with living in your shadows. I'm good with that.
Is that right?
So it's after the closing night party, and Bure and the Florida team, they're heading to the bar. So I was waiting for Kelly, you know, Kelly Clore. She was my roommate. She shot with you. She had to go use the facilities, and I was being a good friend.
The loo.
The loo.
Yeah, the loo. The water closet, if you will.
Ooh, the WC.
the WC. Very nice.
So I just, you know, I pull up a chair. I'm just sitting on my cell phone waiting for her to come out, just minding my own business. And this girl comes over to me, lays on the ground in front of me, like lays in my lap, grabs my hand, and she goes, "Savannah, I'm your biggest fan. You work for the man." And it, I'm like, "Oh, so you're a fan of Bure?" And she goes, "Blu-ray? Who's that?"
Blu-ray.
Blu-ray, yeah. So
by the way, can I just say this is the greatest story of my life?
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. Blu-ray? Who the hell is that?
So she's adorable. I love her. She's definitely had, we'll say, a good time at the party, if
yes.
you will.
Mm.
And so at one point she puts her hat on my head. She takes my glasses off. She's wearing them. I mean, like, we're 25 minutes into this, and I'm like,
sounds like she may have been interested in you for more than just your association with your boss.
She was adorable, and I liked her a lot. But anyway, Blu-ray turned into Blueberry.
Yes,
like Blueberry. You work for Blueberry. And then she's
Blueberry.
Like, trying
here's
to
what I don't,
my
here's
badge.
What I understand. Here's what I understand. How is it that she knows you work for the man, but she doesn't know the man's name?
I don't know. I don't know how she knew me either. Like, she came up and straight knew my name. I have no idea.
Yeah, how does she know your name? Because my name, yeah, but your name is never out there. But she knew. Well, you were wearing a badge, I guess. You were wearing your
no.
Your
she
badge,
couldn't
right?
Like, she thought that I was from Greensburg. Like, I'm from Greensburg, and then she's like, "Oh, you're from Green Bean."
I have a theory. It's called social media. I'm pretty sure that that's where she would have found.
Oh, she's been stalking you.
Savannah's been in the background of social media photos, meetings, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so good
yeah.
for you for having a fan.
Yeah.
That's great.
Let's consider for a fact, for a minute, that she didn't just like see you for the first time at the convention, but she has, in fact, been stalking you for years.
Ooh.
Yes, and now this is merely the first time she saw you in person.
So 15,000 people at this conference, and wouldn't you know, ran into her. She's eating lunch right beside us the next day, and I asked her. I was like, "So how did you know me?" She's like, "Facebook." I'm like, yeah. "Well, that doesn't really explain it, but okay, that's good enough." And then we saw her again at the closing night party, and I drug her over to meet, you know, Mr. Blu-ray,
who she didn't care to meet at all anyway. I don't. When you did that, I didn't understand that. I'm going to bring you over to meet the guy who you made clear to me you could care less about. What was that about?
I wanted a good photo of the two of you so I can print it out and hang it on my wall and remember yeah. forever.
And we have that photo. If you go to my page, Pro Photo Talk with Bure, I actually put it up today.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the photo of, if this is the girl I'm thinking of, where Bure is doing his lean back,
yes.
having a good time, great smile on, and this girl looks like she's waiting in line at the DMV.
Yeah.
She
yes.
looks so uninterested in what's going on. With
who
you
is this old me. Dude, and why is he touching me with his face?
She did, however, make the picture that you took of her, her profile picture.
Oh, yeah, because I took a picture of just her to make sure I had good light. Yeah, I did.
Well, how about that? Hey, speaking of which, let's go down a rabbit hole here. Bure, you got a new camera right before you went to convention.
I did. It was here's what happened. I've been looking at the camera, because I have the Fuji X100S, and then they came out with the X100T, and now the latest
You've been pining over
is
this.
The X100F, and I've been looking at it, and finally, my wife, God bless her, she said, "You know you're going to buy it eventually, so just go ahead and get it." And I thought that makes a lot of sense. You know,
that's a good
get
woman.
It, get it now. I'm gonna. Why not? So I ordered it to have it delivered the day before the convention, and they sent me a 28 to 150 millimeter Fuji lens instead of the camera. So like my body, yeah, and I was like a kid on Christmas morning. I haven't been excited like this in a while. I was giddy with my camera's coming today. My camera, despite the fact that it's basically the same camera I've been using for the last 4 years on vacation, just with a few extra features. Still, I really was like, yay, my camera! And then I opened it, and it was a giant lens for a brand I don't use. It's not like I have a Fuji. I can even put, you know. So I sent it back to Amazon, and I called them, and I said, I need this tomorrow before 10 a.m. And they said, we can't guarantee that. And I said, well, fine, ship it to the Gaylord in Nashville. So they shipped it to Gaylord. I got it there when I landed in Nashville. I used it extensively with the Bounce Flash, the Godax Bounce Flash on it, and great pictures. I got, well, you saw some of the stuff on my page, great pictures without having to carry around my full-time gear. My friends were annoyed that I was taking so many pictures until I got back, and everyone started asking me to send them the pictures.
Classic Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's the way it always is. But I really enjoyed it, and we can go into detail on some other show because you know how much I love to talk about it. But boy, they really upped the game with that camera now. Well, the most interesting thing is they added a joystick so you can move your focus point around, and they also added software that has facial recognition so you never have to move your focus point around. So it's like, so I mean, I guess if you're shooting a landscape or something, fine. But the rest of the time, you can just point it, and it will find the face and focus on whichever eye you want it to.
You can say,
"Oh, focus on the left eye or focus on the right eye," and yeah, and it will do that automatically. Which let me tell you, as I'm sure you're aware, nothing better now. It's so much easier to hand my camera to the bartender and say, "Take a picture of me and my wife at the bar," and just know that it will find our faces and focus on us. Whereas before, they'd hand it back and say, "How's that?" and you'd look at it and think, how can you not tell this is out of focus? You know,
we should add a segment to the show called "How's That?" and just have people send in pictures of themselves that other people have ruined.
That's fantastic. That's a great.
What happens when What happens when you hand your camera to someone else and then they take a picture and they give it
How's
back
that?
To you? How's that? Have you ever said, no, please do it again? You just go, that's fine.
I do sometimes, but a lot of times you just go, hey, thanks a lot, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to embarrass them.
Oh, it's even worse is if you're in an event and you use back button focus like I do, and they're like, "Oh, can I take a picture of you? You're the camera person. You should be in the picture." And I'm like, "All right, but you got to use your thumb and then take the picture." Oh, it's bad every time. It's bad.
Hashtag how's that? Let's have every professional photographer we know change their profile picture to a picture of themselves ruined by somebody else.
You know,
and call it hashtag how's that.
There's an easier solution to that problem, of course, and it would be for you to stop using back button focus like some sort of crazy person. And just use
back button focus is great.
Use main button focus like a sane person uses. Why do you need why use two fingers when you could just use one?
No, disagree. My primary source. Hello, my primary source of income is volume photography by and large, and back button focus is amazing because I'm often standing, arm extended, addressing the person I'm photographing, pre-focusing with the back button, and then I use the shutter to fire it once I've pre-focused. As soon as I see the expression that I want, I use the second button to actually pull the trigger because the camera's already pre-focused with my thumb.
But
it's a lot easier to work it that way with back button focus.
Easier than me where I just touch the trigger and press it halfway down and focus and then finish pressing it when I'm ready to take the picture.
It's fine if you're doing like, you know, shooting catch as can doesn't matter, work as you go. But when you are disengaged,
a very accurate description of my work. Thank you, Gary.
I'm just saying, like, if you're looking through the viewfinder when you're taking your pictures, it's absolutely fine. But and it's also it helps you pre-focus because the buttons serve two different purposes. You can set it up to back button focus where the shutter only fires the shutter and doesn't focus. So you're separating the shutter and the focus into two different buttons so that you can pre-focus and then when on a particular spot and hold your thumb on that back button, and when your subject walks into that plane of focus where you want them, like at an event or you're shooting sports, then you hit the trigger and no hesitation, the shutter fires. So you will never miss the shot if you pre-focus on a spot. It'll always be in focus. It's absolutely awesome for action sports, for volume photography, all kinds of stuff.
Not to be argumentative, but I do the exact same thing with the single button. I pre-focus on the spot, and as long as you are holding the button, it stays focused on that spot, and then when they walk into the zone, you finish pulling the trigger.
It's a lot of pressure to put on your index finger, though. You ever had like mashed up finger from shooting a wedding or something? Like your finger's all tired? My index finger never gets tired anymore. It splits up the work between two fingers. When you die of index finger cancer because you didn't use back button focus, then you can come to me and then bow down before me and say, "Gary, you were right the whole time."
How dare you tell me how to use backpack focus? You cancer dying finger die guy, you. I concede that argument.
So I actually helped a new photographer do a proposal shoot the other day, and he used the shutter button, the half press, but in low light. We had a video light to like pre-focus. I pre-focus with my back button focus, and he was just hunting for focus the whole time. I think he almost missed the whole proposal.
I don't think. Whoa! Back that up. I don't. The focusing mechanism of the camera is the same whichever button you use. It doesn't focus differently by using the front button versus the back button.
If you have your front button set to focus half press and then take the thing, if it can't find focus, it will just hunt for focus. It won't take that picture.
Yes, because I don't want it to take a picture. No, that's up to you. You can set that in the software. You can tell the software in the camera either, like I have mine told, I've told mine, do not take the picture if you're not in focus because I don't want it if it's not in focus. But you can tell it to go ahead and take it.
But he wasn't getting focus before he was trying to take the picture, where I had it pre-focused, kind of like what Gary was saying, and I was able to just snap away because it already had the focus locked.
Because if you're focusing, it's a lot easier to lose your focus if it's all doing it on one button. Because then you've pushed it, and if you let your finger off the button, not only do you lose your focus, but then you have to refocus and shoot again. Where if your thumb stays down, and then you can pull the trigger whenever you want, and it's just been. It's seriously a minute difference, but in certain circumstances, it's more advantageous. But anyway, so this is a really boring conversation about back button focus, except for the part where I yelled at you for dying of finger cancer.
This is supposed to be a photography podcast. We're allowed to talk about photography.
Okay, so I'm really, really interested, since this was the first year in 10 years I have missed Imaging USA. And it is so hard, even though I was at another conference having a really great time, it was really hard to watch all my friends and all my colleagues having a great time at the show that I love to go to because it's a big family reunion. And that was tough. So I need to live vicariously through you, and you did a lot. Savannah was your camera person for all the Imaging USA Live stuff that you did, and you had a platform class, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. I need the dirt. I need the gossip. I need to know. Can you guys just tell me what the hell happened over there, please?
Well, let's see. There was a lot of snow. Several friends of mine ran the 5K in the snow, which was crazy.
Good job, Kevin Newsom.
The PPA Charities, for which you are a trustee still?
Yes.
The PPA Charities Roaring 20s party was a huge success. Everyone was dressed in their 20s flapper gear and everything. It was fantastic. It gave away some big giant golf checks to a couple of very worthwhile charities. Now I lay me down
to
sleep.
And, I want to take one of those to a bank one time.
They weren't big enough, though. They were big, but they weren't like really big. Like, I like the ones that can cover like three people. Like, you know,
maybe next year
really
we'll get
big
bigger
ones.
Checks.
Oh, just want to shout out to you, Gary and Julie. You got an award, but you weren't there to accept it. But you got an award for donating lots of money.
That's true. Well, yeah. That's true. I announced people who had raised a lot of money for the organization. You were one of them.
Did I raise the most?
It was like a group. It was like four. I think it was like the diamond, emerald, you know, gold.
If I didn't win, I don't
bronze.
Care. I want to win.
And in the bronze category was these four people, of which you and Julie were.
I'll have to give more money to charity next year so I can rub it in all of those people's faces how humble and giving I am.
Yes.
Listen, it's a charity. Everyone wins. Come on.
No, just one person.
You were not number one. You were not number one. Pete Rizak, if I remember correctly, was
Pete Rizak is the man.
And it was his third year in a row of raising
the most.
Yeah,
I know.
As a single person. Now there were other organizations and groups and corporate sponsors that raised a ton of money.
For those of you listening, Pete Rizak was a guest on our show a few episodes back, and he's an incredible dude and photographer, and also apparently a way better humanitarian than me. Thanks, Pete.
If you watch the videos on the PPA page that I did while we were there, the last video from the closing night party, Pete is the one being extremely dorky next to me while I'm doing the closing video, purposely like goofing around and because hey, I'm on camera, hey, you know, doing that, you know, because it was a party and there may have been some cocktails.
Yeah, so. Just a few. What you do when you get to the closing night party at Imaging USA, you get a drink ticket going in. That's part of your registration. And so there's what I do is I make a list of all my friends who don't drink, who are at Imaging USA, and I find them first. And usually after about 10 minutes, I've usually got about 15 drink tickets.
Right.
And that's sort of the key. You just got to find like people who are pregnant or nursing or your friends who are super religious and teetotalers. And you just go around and you spend a couple minutes. Hey, how you doing? Hey, by the way, do they give you a drink ticket all the way in? Oh, you know, let me take that off your hands. You know, probably the Lord wouldn't want you to use that. And so I'll jump on that grenade for you, no problem.
What a guy you are! What a good friend.
I told you I was a humanitarian. I mean, not as big a humanitarian as Pete Rizak, but I am a humanitarian.
All right, Savannah so far has told us one story. She said she had a couple of stories. I'm sorry. Has Savannah turned into a dog?
Yes. Savannah, come back to us.
I have three rescue dogs. I'm doing my best. I gave them rawhides. She's a rescue dog person.
We hate those
put
people.
Put them outside in the snow.
Those people are so, the rescue dog people, you just like, oh, you're so good and pure and nice, and I'll never be anything like you.
She's got a dog fighting club. Don't think that she's that great. She gets three rescue dogs a week, and then she fights them.
Awful. I took them out in the snow and had them run around before I got on the call in the hopes that they would keep their stuff together. But, you know, they're dogs.
In her defense, nobody is more thorough and does their homework more than Savannah Butler does. That's true. So there's no doubt that she probably started planning on how to keep the dogs quiet about 6 hours ago.
Yes.
And then she's been working on it the whole
time.
When
we were shooting,
there's no doubt in my mind.
When we were shooting videos at Imaging USA, she'd be like, okay, so what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, I'll start over here and I'll just walk over there. And I'll be talking, and you'll just follow me, and then we'll do a thing. And she'd be like, okay, so I'm going to start here up on this thing here. I'm going to pan down. I'm going to sweep left. I'm going to do a 35-degree turn for 2.5 seconds. And then I'm going to walk backwards just along this line, not to the left, but a little bit to the right here, and then come back here to this position. You're going to go right there, and then what are you going to say exactly word for word when you get there? And I'm like,
she goes, because while I'm filming it, I'm using my free hand to actually type a transcript.
Yes.
At the same time.
Like a court reporter. You know, I have a little court reporter machine there, and she'll be typing up a transcript as she goes. Yeah, she's very detail-oriented, and it was wonderful, to be honest, because she was constantly saying stuff, and I was like, hey, that's probably a good idea. We should have a plan.
And do remember, too, she has a near-perfect memory, so any dumb thing you say whilst drinking, she will probably be able to remember and recite it back to you at an inopportune moment.
That's all right.
That's
that wasn't me.
That
was
superpower.
That was Blueberry. That wasn't me. Do you have another story, or is that the blueberry story is the main one you just had to share?
I think she's so excited to have a fan, though.
Yes.
Please, tell us. Oh, tell us. Yes. Regale us with your fan.
No, that was the main story, but I did have 2 points whenever I was asking Gary, well, you know, like, politely begging him to let me on the cool podcast that I just like to listen to. No, somebody, I was telling somebody this story because it was my favorite story to tell about Ruby. She's a lovely girl, and we're friends on Facebook now.
Yes,
we're gonna hang out at some point. But anyway, I was trying to retell the story, and somebody, it started as a compliment and it kind of ended as an insult. But this person, who will remain nameless, because it might be a listener of the show. She's like, oh, you're semi-famous, you know, because you work for Gary and Bouray, and they mention you on the podcast. You're a, and I quote, a throwaway sentence every now and then, so we know your name. And I was like, oh, well.
That's like, hey, we've got 5 seconds of dead air. What do we do? Savannah Butler. And
that's exactly what that is. She's filler.
Dodged that bullet, didn't we? Good for us.
I cut a little deep. I was like, ooh, maybe I should actually just go on and talk once and be a guest, so I won't, you know, I can not be a throwaway sentence this time.
Oh, don't worry, this whole episode's a throwaway. This is never gonna get published.
Once this gets edited down, it'll be a 5-minute show.
Yeah. it'll be like when they edit Jar Jar Binks out of Star Wars Episode 1. They have that exists on YouTube. Never mind, I didn't say that.
Hey, thanks guys, really appreciate it.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Here's what's funny about Savannah. Is that Savannah's experiences at Imaging USA are so much different than ours. For example, like, we'd be talking, she's like, okay, when are we going to do the next show, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, okay, I think we're going to do the last show is probably going to be at 6:30 right before the Grand Imaging Awards. And she's like, okay, I just need to know because I'm doing a shoot in downtown Nashville with some cosplayers later tonight. And I'm like, what? You're doing what?
Yeah, you want to talk about a person who burns a candle at both ends and also from the middle.
Yeah. I'm like, how is it that you're doing a shoot with cosplayers in Nashville? How does that even happen? You know, and she, oh, well, I'm in a group on Facebook and they plan this thing and I'm going to go and shoot. And then the next day, we're just getting ready to shoot again after I've been trying to sleep for 8 hours and she's had 3 hours of sleep and she's pulling up on her phone the fully edited image of the girl that she shot in downtown Nashville. And I'm like, what the hell? Who has time for that?
It's only Savannah Butler.
Yeah.
She's
I got so little sleep. I mean, I came home and I crashed immediately. I've never fallen asleep so fast in my life after I got home from imaging. It was nuts.
Yeah, there is the convention fatigue that you get, you know, because you're staying up late, getting up early, and usually walking quite a lot of miles. I want to ask you guys both, as a convention compared to other years that you've been, how did you feel about this year at IUSA?
Go ahead, Savannah.
Honestly, this is the best convention I think I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of conventions and workshops. This was my favorite by far.
Why do you say it's your favorite?
I think because, one, I know more people, so I get to see people that live all across the country. I get to.
You've gotten plugged in quite a bit over the last couple of years, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it was really cool. I got to have lunch with my friend, Carson, who lives in L.A. We got to grab a bite. He's like a Magma ambassador now, so shout out to him. He's cool.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Hey, how about some free Magmod's gear there, Carson? Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Carson.
Magmod. 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 That's four times I've mentioned you on the show.
I'm sorry, did you say Magmod?
I did mention Magmod. Also, Heineken and Tito's Vodka. I'd like to mention them out, too, while I'm at it.
Budweiser. Yes, absolutely. Ford trucks.
Ford trucks.
I just said Toyota.
Toyota. Carnival
Man,
cruises.
Man, I don't have refined taste at all.
No, we're trying to get free really stuff, not. And we're like, Slim Jim,
Skittles,
beef jerky, Skittles. Oh yeah, we definitely don't have the refined taste.
Just knowing enough people, I was able to go and finally shoot. I know it's funny, and you like to sometimes pick on people that take their camera, but
I always like to pick on people who take their camera.
I had my whole kit. I got like two light stands. I had speed lights, a reflector.
Did you drive in or fly in?
I flew. I managed to pack. Well, you know, I packed very little clothes.
You look like a ninja turtle when you travel, too. You have a gigantic pack on you at all times.
Oh, but the backpack she was carrying around when we were doing our thing, I couldn't even lift that thing. Forget putting on that.
Yeah. Again, she's doing serious harm to her body, but it's fine.
I'll tell you what was interesting, though, about my with my program. I mentioned offhand in my promo program how I have a small camera that I carry around on vacation. I use bounce flash with it because, you know, I'm a photographer and I'm not happy unless I have good light, but I don't want to carry my big gear, etc. It was pretty quick, quicker than I just made it sound. And I got asked about that more than anything else at the convention. People, you know, people always stop you after you speak the rest of the convention to ask you questions. And more often than not, the question was, what's the little camera that you were talking about that you use when you're on vacation? There are a lot of photographers really trying to find a vacation camera. You know, one woman was like, I'm going to Europe and I don't want to carry all my gear. What are you using? To the point, Gary, that I'm thinking that I may actually make a program about that.
You need to get in touch with somebody at Fuji.
Yes.
Big time. Brand ambassador.
Listen, I went by the Hoodman? I went by the Hoodman booth, you know, with the Hoodman loop that you get for your camera. I went by the Hoodman loop in the trade show, and they were like, your Blu-ray. I'm like, why? They go, we sold out after your program. We were mobbed after your program. Because someone asked me about it, and I pointed it out and made a joke about it. And then they were like, we were mobbed. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And he was like, what can I send you? I said, I already have everything that you make.
Yeah, to a middle-aged photo geek, speaking on stage at Imaging USA is the closest anyone will ever be to a rock star,
yes.
Right? You know, it's like,
yeah, it really is.
And then people, they want to talk to you, and it's just, it's good. I'm glad you got to do it again before you died. So that's really good that happened.
That's a terrible thing to say. I'm not going to die.
I'm just bitter. Well, we're all going to die, but, you know, I'm just bitter. I'm just bitter that I wasn't there. I miss you guys so much, hanging out with you guys and being a part of it.
To answer your question, because I want to get to you, and to answer your question, I agree with Savannah. It was the best convention I've ever been to. I've been there. We were in Nashville 3 years ago. It was fabulous then, too.
Is that because I wasn't there?
But No. That was the one downside, and I kept seeing you. I mean, when I first got there, I'm, like, looking out among the field of people, and I'm like, oh,
hello.
Yes.
Is it me you're looking for?
I kept looking. I'm like, oh, there. Oh, no, it's not. It's not Gary. Gary's not here. And that was really weird because I've never been to a convention without Gary. But the branding was over the top. I mean, there was just huge banners and signs. I mean, when you were there, it was PPA owned the Gaylord. And it was and which is a huge place. And it was really, really cool. And I like the check-in was very cool. They had all the computers set up, easy for you to check in and get your badge. There were great speakers, you know, top names. Lindsay Adler was there. Jerry Jonas was there. The trade show was bigger.
Some talent that they haven't had before at IUSA, too. I looked, the speaker lineup, I think, was probably one of the best ones they've had in a long time.
Says the chairman of the speaker selection committee.
Well, not anymore, but I was for that.
Yeah,
but
you were for this convention.
I just want to say that the work that I did for that actually, it's funny. It's totally different. It ends up completely different than it starts out with the committee. Right. Staff does 95% of the work to get that done. They really do. So,
Savannah, you had your hand up. You wanted to add something?
Oh, yeah. I just want to say that Gary was actually there. I can't tell you how many times people would be like, oh, Gary, because he's on the face as a PPA. Oh, your face flashed across the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because
there's a chair interview.
Yes. when you're getting ready for a program and you're sitting there waiting for it to start, they have videos running and you were constantly on those videos.
That was Atlanta like 4 years ago, three years ago I did that interview. And they actually PPA made YouTube ads out of those interviews. And so my dad, who's 76, God bless him, he thinks I'm famous because he'll go onto YouTube and then he'll keep seeing a commercial with me in it.
You're a very attractive man, Mr. Hughes.
Well, I do what I can. I was wearing a great jacket, though. I did have a good jacket
okay,
on that one.
So that's enough about this because I really want to hear everything about going to a photo conference in Great Britain versus America and compare and contrast for us and tell us about that experience.
It's the Society's convention, the SWPP, the Society of Wedding and Portrait Photographers, their annual convention. And it's in London, and it was in, like, real close to central London, like you could walk into central London. The weather wasn't bad. It was pretty warm, 30s and 40s, doable. It had a very light mist of rain the entire time. So it was very gray and very typically London. Like, it was perfect. It was perfect London weather. A couple of things stand out. I judged the competition when I first got there. My flight, because of all the weather in the Northeast, got messed up. And I ended up having to – Kevin Landers and I ended up having to spend the night over at a hotel in Miami to catch the only flight we could get out for like 3 days. So I had to drive 4 hours from Orlando, stay in a hotel overnight, and catch a flight out of Miami the next day. And I got there at 7 o'clock in the morning and judges – no, 7:45, and the judging started at 9. So we landed – beat it up to the hotel, and I hadn't slept because I can't sleep on planes. I probably slept for like 30 minutes in an 8-hour flight, and so I hadn't slept the entire night. And I went up, took a shower, changed, went downstairs, walked right into the judging, and they kept asking me if I was okay. Like, if people see you, they take one look at you, go, "Are you okay?" Like, you're probably not okay. But the competition was just exceptional. It's all 16x20 prints. Or 20x16.
Old school. Old school. No digital.
No. Amazing print quality. Of all the competitions I've judged, one of the biggest issues that comes up with prints is the judges will say, print quality, wrong medium, whatever, matte, whatever. We didn't discuss the print quality or presentation, I can't think of more than once, because everybody has the prints down so much there. They're great at it. The quality of work in the competition for the size of it was mind-blowing. We had the old school print display taking up the whole lobby of the hotel where the expo was. It was just unbelievable. Learned a lot. Had a great time. And they just were like they're a good close knit group. The actual convention itself, I'd say, was probably about maybe 600 or 700 people go to classes, maybe 8. But the expo itself is 10,000 people.
Wow,
is that crazy? They have a 10,000 person expo with a 750-800 person conference. So it's like it's a really interesting convention, and I've never really been to one like that before. But the people were excellent. It was really well put together. The judging panels were awesome. The work was great, and we had a fantastic time with everybody. And I will tell you, on the last night, I had to fly out at 8 o'clock, or I had to leave to go to the airport at 8 a.m. And I went to bed at 5. Because I was going to all the awards banquet had let out. Everybody goes upstairs to the hotel bar. And so all of a sudden, there's 600 people in tuxedos and ball gowns in the middle of the hotel. And they're all just laughing and waving their awards around and having a great time. And I walked over to say bye to somebody. And I got grabbed by one of these guys. And there's a Southeast Asian, Indian, Pakistani, you know, of different various religious groups or whatever. They're like the number one minority, the largest minority in Great Britain. And so there's a group of these Indian photographers. They're Indian Sikhs, and they're amazing guys. But literally, one of them saw me, grabbed the back of my neck and forced a shot down my throat while 10 other dudes from their group are just like, Gaz, 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 which is a British abbreviation for Gary, by the way. It's like a nickname. And so okay. They forced me. I was getting ready to say goodnight and go to bed, and then they basically like made me drink and party with them.
Oh,
and
that's so, the yeah. worst.
They're amazing dudes, though. We had a great time. It was really fun. They party, dude, like it's the end of the world at that conference. I've never seen anything like it.
So they were. Is it Sikhs or Sakes? How do you pronounce it?
Sikhs. Yeah.
So but, were, they wearing, guys, were they wearing?
I'm talking about every night. Every no matter who I was hanging out with, they're all partying like it's the end.
Were they
of the world.
Were they wearing the headgear?
A couple, yeah. The turban, I'm not sure. Turban, because I had a better word for that than turban.
Because I had a cab driver in New York who was wearing this beautiful blue silk shirt and had a turban that was made from the same exact material. I was like, that's fashion forward, that dude. He had matched, he matched up his turban and his shirt exactly from the same material. And I was like, that's cool.
Well, if your religion requires you to wear certain clothing, at least right. make it look good.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I right. say. That's, yeah, absolutely. That's no problem there. Just own it.
Did you have any celebrity moments when you were there? I mean, did anyone know who you were at all? You know,
yeah,
when
no,
you go,
I had,
when you go
I
to things here,
classes.
People come up and go, hey, it's, you know, it's Gary.
The format's a little bit different. They have throughout the whole convention, a lot like WPPI, they have what they call master classes. And so the master classes are smaller, anywhere from like 30 to 100 people, depending on the size of the room that you're in, and they have bunches of those, and then they have some platform classes and super classes and all kinds of different stuff. But I caught two master classes on two different days, and they were both full. It was great. Both people came to see me, and a few people did recognize me from Creative Live and stuff like that. So it was really nice. But even then, like the people who had most of the people had I never knew who they were, and they didn't know who I was, and they still it doesn't matter. You go in there and you're family like immediately. You can walk up
great.
To anybody and you're part of the group. It was one of the most. I was worried that I was going to be away from my photography family that week, from all the people I've known for a decade and hung with at conventions and talked to. And I seriously didn't miss a beat because they made me feel so much at home. It was a really incredible experience. I love those guys. Every single person that conference was amazing.
Well, we missed you at Imaging USA, but it's good to hear that you know, you didn't come home with a like, well, this was terrible. I should have gone to Imaging USA. You know,
well,
I'm glad that didn't happen.
I could have made the last 2 days of IUSA. I could have made the last two
days.
There was,
I think, a rolling bet as to whether or not you would. There were people who were like, I wouldn't count Gary out. There's a chance that he would just be like, screw this. I'm getting on a plane and going to Tennessee.
I almost did, too. I was so close. I was, you know, because I was flying out Sunday morning. I got home at Sunday night at like 10 o'clock, and I thought, you know, Nashville's a two-hour flight.
Yeah.
You know, I could
right.
I could pretty easily just get on a plane, and it's like a $200 flight that takes 2 hours. You
right.
know, I could have been there late Sunday night, early Monday morning, but I was already just so exhausted and jet lag on top of it. I've been going to bed at 8 o'clock at night since I got home. my poor 2-year-old who's been missing me like crazy, you know, wants me to play Legos with her, and I'm like asleep on the couch at 6 o'clock at night. You know,
so. Yeah, I slept until like 9:30 this morning, and I never. Usually, I'm up at 7:30 every morning, so I slept like 9.5 hours, and I never sleep that late. There's a little bit of that, but you know, you also have to remember we deserve a day off. We go to a convention, and you're like, those aren't days off. I was working. You know, I worked
absolutely
you know, all day, 12 hours a day for 4 or 5 days. I get to take a day off. Like today, Friday, when I called, I was like, hey, let's do the podcast today, which is really just an excuse for me not to really work.
For those of us who teach, too, a convention, you're never not on.
No.
All the time you're on. Like, unless you get to like a little, you go off campus to a restaurant with just a couple of close friends, you're on all the time because you're always meeting people who've seen you, who listen to the show, who've seen you speak somewhere, whatever it is. You always have to be, whatever the on version of yourself is, you're on the whole time you're at a convention, and it is exhausting. It is work. For photography educators, it is work.
It is, but at the same time, it's, you know, because I had this problem at the convention where when people are like, how you doing? Are you tired? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going nonstop.
Look at my face!
I'm doing so many of these, and I'm doing all this other stuff, and yes, I'm really tired. And then about halfway through the convention, I was like, you need to shut up because someone's going to decide that you don't need to do this anymore because they're killing you. And I didn't, you know, someone's going to be like, don't ask Bure to do that stuff because, you know, he's too tired. He's so tired.
I saw great engagement and I'm like, on the Imaging USA like,
no,
Live
I don't,
stuff.
No, I'm like, no. I'm tired, but it's a good tired. It was by far the best convention I've ever been to. And if you said next year we want you to do everything you did last year, I would absolutely be 100% in for that. I'd be like, oh, you bet. I'm there. Let's go. It was tiring, but it was exciting and fun. And just had a really great time.
From the perspective of somebody who wasn't there that usually goes, all of the broadcasting that the two of you put together the whole time, I was kicking myself for not being there. I was like, man, oh, you can be sure that I will never miss one again unless there's some kind of emergency. Thank you to IUSA Live with you two putting it on. It was really painful, but it was also cool to be able to see everything, you know. And the engagement looked good. The social media engagement looked really good. Like all the videos were getting about 1,000 views within just a few hours.
Yeah, we were getting good views and good engagement, and so hopefully it will grow. I mean, it's the first year we did it, and there was no run up to it really. People didn't really know we were doing it. So we'll see where that goes. But Facebook Live, as you've been talking about so much, if you're not in Gary's group, Garage Brand, you need to join that group because Gary is constantly posting so many great links to articles and blog posts about media marketing, and then doing a show once a week where he has an expert on, talks about media marketing. And we are hearing so much this year about Facebook Live and how you can really use it to propel your business forward.
It's huge.
Right?
It's huge.
So, yeah, so we're hoping to get PPA to do more and more of that. So hopefully we'll see more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. So what was your favorite part, IUSA, both of you? Favorite thing?
Savannah?
Oh, man, I don't know. Seeing how the other half lives, maybe? rubbing elbows with the famous folks. I mean, like, because I got to hang out with Bure and Kira.
Oh, stop
and
that.
But
you would have hung out with me anyway. I mean,
well, it's true.
Folks. I mean, the last Imaging USA, I think you were there, right? You were hanging out with us.
Yeah, but not, like, all day. Like, doing the Facebook Live videos, I was pretty much with you most of the day.
Yeah, that's true. And that's true. I would cut you loose for, like, an hour. I'd be like, okay, meet me back here at the trade show in 1 hour. We were together pretty much the whole time.
Because the place is so big, it's, like, 56 acres. By the time I would get back to my hotel room, take off the orange shirt, put up my feet, like, 10 minutes later, I had to put my shirt back on. And, like, go back. Like, I got, like, 10, 15 minutes to relax in between videos. But
I know what you mean, though, but you've had a pretty fast track into sort of a group of friends and photographers who've known each other for a long time and associated for a long time. So being introduced into that group, I can see what you mean. Certainly not famous in the sense that nobody walked on the moon or cured anything, but it is. Well, you know, I've heard it said at the offices at PPA that there are 300 people that make PPA work, and that includes – you know, board members, staff, committee chairs, committee members, and volunteers. And so out of an association of 33,000 people, 33,000 members, there are about 300 core people that make it happen. And so you sort of are already in it. I would say that pretty much everybody in that group of people already knows who you are. So now you're like one of the core people.
Yeah, you're in it. You're in it now. God help you.
Yeah. 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 Good luck. Yeah. They are going to put you to work for the rest of your adult life. You are done.
You know, I have a story about that. About getting into it quickly, because I kind of got into it quickly too. You know, I joined PPA and then I got involved within a year or two suddenly. And to illustrate that, I was walking across the bridge there and I saw this woman and she was walking and I wow, she looks familiar. And as she walked past me, she looked at me and she got all the PPA bling on, a whole like two rows of bronze and gold awards and competition stuff. And as she walks back to me, she goes, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I stop and I go, "Yes, I do. Sure, I do." And I'm thinking, Facebook. I've seen this woman on Facebook. She's a pet photographer on Facebook. And I said, sure, I do. And I look at her badge and it says Margaret Bryant. And I'm like, yes, there's a pet photographer on Facebook, Margaret Bryant, who I guess I've interacted with. And I'm like, sure, from Facebook, Margaret Bryant. And she says, you know, and of course, ABC. And suddenly it came rushing back to me. When I was a disc jockey for 7 years at ABC Radio, Margaret Bryant was the head engineer. She built the building. She was the one who would she was the one who would come into the studio when your cart machine went down. She was the one that would come in and fix it. She was the, I saw her almost daily for 7 years in that building, and I had thought about her many times since then, because I remember Margaret, this engineer we had, and I remember how she was always into photography, and she had shown me her pictures, you know, back when I was a disc jockey, because I was kind of into it too, and I wonder whatever happened to her. Well, lo and behold, she's a PPA member. She's got tons of medals and awards for competition, and I've been interacting with her on Facebook for the last year, not realizing that it was the same Margaret Bryant that I had worked with at ABC Radio for 7 years in the 90s. And I was like, oh my God, it was so great to see her and talk to her. And she says to me, she goes, so what happened with you? Because I never heard of you, and then suddenly you're everywhere. I said, yeah, that kind of happened. Sorry about that.
Well, we have a lot of creatives in the industry that are happy to let someone else sort of be at the front and do the talking.
Yes.
And so, you know, anytime there's any meeting or anything that needs to be done at PPA where someone has to talk on a microphone, the first person that gets mentioned is, well, I guess we can have Bure do that too.
And that's what I told her. And she said to me, well, I guess I shouldn't let anybody know that I used to be a newscaster before I was an engineer. I'm like, no. Keep that a secret.
Nope, don't tell them.
Keep that a secret, or else you'll be hosting the PPA Charities Ball.
Most professional photographers have experience in some other career.
Right.
You know, there aren't, you know, like we've had Tim Kelly on the show before. He's been a photographer his entire life, you know. But most of us in the profession did something else. In fact, something that we left that we did, you know, to pursue our dream of photography or whatever. And so almost everybody you're looking at in that room, in that convention hall, has another thing that they're probably really very good at.
Savannah, did you do anything else before? I mean, you're pretty young, though. What did you? Well, I worked at Chipotle.
You'll be blown away by the things she knows how to do.
Yeah, I actually, I did auto body work for quite a number of years.
I can so totally see that.
Why am I
not surprised that you know your way around Bondo?
When I worked at a body shop, my nickname was the quarter panel queen, because I would replace quarter panel. No, I'm not joking. And I loved welding. I was really good at it.
Like a really bad stripper name. Please welcome to the main stage, the quarter panel queen, Savannah.
Yeah, no, she's one of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, no, we all know this. I was so off base with that.
Savannah jumping off the turnbuckle, hitting somebody with a welding torch.
The quarter panel queen. Oh, my God. And your signature move would be called the Bondo. Isn't that what they put on the thing? When there's a thing, it's called Bondo?
It's like the
no, it's the Bond
thing.
Bow. The bond, where she hits him with her elbow.
Oh,
the
off
bond
the turnbuckle with the Bondo. That's gotta hurt.
I went back to school later. I went to like school for computer science, and then I was like a college professor for 2 years.
Oh my God.
I did some weird stuff.
How old
stuff.
Are you? Aren't you in your 20s? How old are you?
No, she's 46.
I swear.
No, I'm 32, but I look 23. Okay. It's mostly the haircut.
I find that that's a problem with so many
Savannah,
people.
For those of you who don't know Savannah, she looks like a nerdy Skrillex. She knows, like a Skrillex haircut.
I'll take
and
that.
And for those of you over 35, Skrillex is a DJ. He's got a weird haircut.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Which means everyone on our everyone who's listening to the show right this second,
Skrillex
is a DJ with a strange haircut.
Okay. I think, wasn't that like the bad guy in Land, weren't they called in Land of the Lost? No, those were Sleestaks. The Sleestaks were in Land of the Lost. Okay.
Wow, all right. Did you blow the dust off that? You pulled that out of the archives. Yeah, holy
crap. That's for the people over 50. Everyone else is going, Sleestak! I know what a Sleestak is. All right.
I feel like you connect with our audience more than I do.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So should we wrap this thing up? We've been going for a while.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. You know what? We're going to have so much more. And sorry again, we miss an episode because we're just in different parts of the world at the moment. And so we're back on track now. Everything's fine. So sorry about missing a week. But you know what? This is free. So shut up.
The bottom line is we really did miss you, though, at Imaging USA. For me, especially, because it just wasn't – without you there, it wasn't – where's Gary? I've never been to one that you weren't at. So it was.
I missed you guys too,
weird,
man.
Yeah, it was really weird. All right, you can find us online. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/photobombpodcast. We have a website too, photobombpodcast.com. And we have an email address, and it is questions@photobombpodcast.com. So you can send us email or send us stuff through the Facebook page. Gary is online at hughesfioretti.com.
Yep.
I am at bureperry.com. Savannah, what's your website?
Savvyshots.photography. There's no .com. I got in on the dot photography thing before it was big.
So did that make it easier for people to find you?
Nope, because everyone's SavvyShotsDotPhotography.com, and I'm like, nope, that's the actual extension. Yeah. It's bad.
I own BooRayPerry.photography. I just don't use it. I bought it so no one else would.
If you are designing a marketing piece or a plan, and you think there's no way that people aren't smart enough to get this, guess what? They aren't. Yes. So just make it easier.
Bleeding edge isn't always a good thing.
No,
it is not. What else was I going to point out? Oh, that's right. There's a Facebook group called Pro Photo Talk with Boo Ray. Please join it and have fun with us in that discussion. And there is one called Garage Brand with Gary Hughes, which is going to bring you much more pertinent and important information to help you with your business than mine is.
Yeah, if you want Boo Ray to take a picture of a shadow on a wall that looks like a penis and post it in his group, Pro Photo Talk with Boo Ray Perry is for you. If you want to learn how to be better at business with a bunch of other creative entrepreneurs, join me in Garage Brand Live. With Gary Hughes.
Wait a minute. I got to make a note here. I got to remember to post the wall shadow penis picture that I took at the convention. I don't know how I overlooked it, but I've got to get that. And you laugh, but there really was a piece of wallpaper on the way to the bar that was pointed out to me by several people. Did you notice that piece of wallpaper there? So it's not just me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's why you're for the people.
I am for the people. And that's it for this week. We will see you back here again next week.
Hey, thanks, Savannah, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
See you later.